To the eighth talk of our IHM novena. Tonight, we'll reflect on cultivating an inner awareness of Mary's heart so as to cause peace in our occasionally anguished hearts and in our troubled world. We will begin with an aspiration to which the response is, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Immaculate Heart of Mary, refuge of in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A man passed by a group of sisters sitting quietly at a meal. They were quiet during the entire meal. The man then rushed to the nearest Catholic church. He was not Catholic. And he asked the priest, I want to be Catholic. Why? The priest asked. Any religion that can make 30 women silent must be the true religion. What happened here? Prayerful silence, an effect of holy living, ignited the man to look at the cause, true religion. Signs point to truth. When Mary becomes our companion, miracles in our life and in the world occur, miracles of inner and outer peace. Mary is the cause, and the miracles are the effects. Do we and the world need miracles of peace? I pray you give a strong inner yes. Please listen to the words of St. John Paul II on the need for deep prayer. We are living in a very unique time and facing a struggle unlike that of previous generations, the greatest combat that mankind ever saw. I do not believe the Christian community completely understands this. John Paul, as Cardinal Carol Wojtyła, said these words in 1967. What would he say now? I don't know about you, but people I have encountered seem uneasy about the United States. Events such as infanticide exist, as well as euthanasia, ISIS surprise attacks, and even the compelling of our own priests to break the seal of confession in one state. The list goes on and on ad nauseum. Our faith tells us a definite solution exists. Union with Mary's Immaculate Heart, the answer to all our problems. Why do I say this? The secular historian Arnold Toynbee wrote about the rise of 26 great civilizations. Toynbee asserted that the key to rejuvenating a decadent culture is through what he termed a creative genius minority. I believe you, who are now sitting in this chapel, are that creative minority. A creative minority consists of only two kinds of people. The first is a few people who teach the truth to, as Toynbee coined it, the unthinking masses. The second, in which we are more concerned, is the man or woman who enters the world and exits to go back to his reservoir of prayer. In short, the second creative minority are people who pray. And the most efficacious prayer is one united with Christ through Mary. Will you be part of this creative minority? Now you may be thinking, fine, sister, you live in a convent. What about me? I'm a busy dad. I'm a mom with little children. I'm a grandparent constantly babysitting. I'm a single man or woman, and everybody dumps the unwanted tasks on me, et cetera, et cetera. How in the world can I have such a lofty relationship with Mary, let alone transform the world. I'm no saint. You probably don't think this, but some people do. Saint Juan Diego was just a widowed layman who worked and took care of his uncle. He could very well say the same thing. Yes, he saw Our Lady, and his obedience won the conversions of millions and the transformation of a pagan culture. However, others have seen Our Lady and in approved apparitions, but failed later to walk in her presence, even declining in virtue. What was Juan's secret? He encountered, listened, and consecrated himself to Mary. Encountering, listening, consecrating. Three acts we can all do, be we laity, diocesan priest, or religious, to cultivate a deep relationship with our mother. An acronym that might help you, ELK, E-L-C. E, encounter. Please think of any deep relationship you have, a spouse, friend, or sibling. How did it happen? Pause time. Now you may raise an objection. Sister, I saw the manliness in my husband. I first looked at the beauty of my wife. I talked to my friend who connected with me. Yes, in our earthly lives, we live by our five senses. But scientists now can reason to other dimensions. And we know by faith the supernatural world exists. The word again, faith. We must believe in the reality of Mary's closeness. She is present here and now. You may question, how can I have that kind of faith? Ask. Jesus told us, ask and you shall receive. He will give good things to those who ask. And there is nothing better than a theological virtue. So it is there for the asking. With faith in hand, we encounter Our Lady. She gradually reveals herself to us. The word is gradual. Mother Joanne once told me, there are no such things as instant friendships. We may unconsciously, thanks to our techie society, want instant friendships, but it will not occur without time. Mary is not going to immediately become our companion unless we have already fostered it. Just how can I nurture this intimacy with the Virgin? One truth may help us. Mary wants a relationship with each of us more than we do. She is our mother and paid through it, through her sorrows, especially at Calvary. When someone shows she wants a relationship with me, I am more ready to cultivate it. Isn't that natural? Mary is our mother and desperately desires to connect with us. Besides cultivating faith and realizing Mary's love for each one of us, what else must one do to encounter? I must be ready to invest time in the relationship. Were you and are you willing to take time? Go back to the people you remembered. Your spouse, friend, sibling. Were you and are you willing to take time to cultivate this special companionship? What is the secret of a good relationship? If we examine our own friendships, we can see a gradual mutual knowledge, appreciation, doing of kind actions, availability to our friends, and mutual readiness to encourage or just be present in times of desolation. Friendships take work, but it is worth it. Likewise, we need to take time for Our Lady. Along with investing time, we need to look for signs. St. Juan Diego immediately saw Our Lady of Guadalupe on the hill, right? Wrong. Juan Diego first heard birds, a beautiful chorus of birds singing. Then he saw a unique light in the morning. And finally, he felt a nudge of grace stirring him to go off his own pre-planned way and turn another way. We too can see signs if we are open. I know a young woman, a single mom, whose boyfriend wished her to abort the baby before and verbally abused her after. She then sought help with a Catholic ministry who provided her with a mentor who had gone through a similar experience. The mentor told her to look for signs of the divine presence. This looking for signs helped sustain her in trials as a single mom with the baby's abusive father. If this woman could do it, each one of us could do it. Signs of Mary's presence exist. A big sign is your sitting right now in our IHM chapel. A sign of Mary's personally beckoning you to come to herself. I urge you tonight, if you are beginning a relationship with Our Lady, to consider signs of her presence in your life. Second L, listening. As we check our phones and watch the news, we see in our country a preferential love for texting and talking. We must foster the art of listening to others. If we do not listen, can we have any relationships? Not really. And if we do listen, people will seek us out. Mary wishes to speak to us. Are our ears open? Think about it. Every time Mary appears, from Guadalupe to the last approved apparition, she has a message. She speaks. True mothers wish to speak to their children. She has urgent words for us as a people, but also messages that are unique to each of us. Will Mary speak to me audibly? Perhaps, but probably not. If you do hear Mary audibly, I'd love to hear about it later. She speaks to us by inspiring us. Mary speaks, but she places conditions for our spiritual ears, a receptive faith and a docile will. The faith we need to hear Mary is an awareness of her personal plan in our life. Her involvement of Mary and for each of us. The Blessed Mother is not just here to give a spiritual boost to my life or to answer a prayer, good as that may be. Rather, she is mostly here by God's design to help fulfill the divine plan in my life. How often does she talk? Always. I must listen to her not just once a year at a novena or retreat, not only on Sundays or Saturdays, but throughout my entire life, in my trials as well as my joys. You may think, this is impossible. If you think this, you are in one way right. It is impossible for us. However, if we are aware of our nothingness and awareness, failures and suffering can easily provide If we ponder that Mary has chosen us, as little as we are, to do great things for God, if we reflect that she loves us in an unimaginable depth, the impossible will become possible. We will look upon Mary saying, "Here I am, send me." Juan Diego certainly must have felt small to deliver such an important message to the Bishop of Mexico City. The Mother of God wished a church built. However, in his awareness of Mary's love and plan for his mission, he obeyed. Likewise, we too have missions, and Mary will direct us if we but listen and trust in her love. By the way, nothing in us repels or surprises her. Queen of Mercy, she envelops us in her love and sends us off to build the kingdom in our entrusted area. C, consecration. The third step, consecration or entrustment, means the giving of ourselves to Our Lady, handing over all we are and have into her hands, including our gifts, tasks, daily events. Spiritual masters often call this entrustment the secret of saints. Juan Diego gives us another example. When he asks Mary that the bishop wants a sign, he saw Castilian roses blooming in cold December. Our Lady then called Juan to himself so she could arrange the roses in his mantle before he presented them to the bishop. These roses given by God and arranged by Mary symbolize the gifts that God has given each one of us, and along with the details of our daily lives. Mary takes these talents and guides them in a way we would not do so on our own. As with Juan Diego's roses, she will prune and arrange our lives as only she can, to present our life as a beautiful bouquet for God. When we let Mary do this, something that many of us have, worry, lessens. One sister friend called Mary the ultimate anti-ruminator. Mother Teresa, someone who had faced every kind of trial, both internal and external, never worried. What was her secret? She had given herself and her congregation entirely to the Immaculate Heart. She believed what Our Lady of Guadalupe said to Saint Juan Diego. As I read this once more, please listen as if Our Lady is talking to you personally. Listen and keep in your heart, my littlest son or daughter. There is nothing for you to fear. Let not your face nor your heart be worried. Am I not here who am your mother? Are you not under my protection? Are you not in my crossed arms? Don't let anything worry you. For those of us who are worriers, this calm just does not automatically occur. We need to cultivate an interior discipline of giving to Our Lady repeatedly throughout our day and over the course of the years, our concerns, doubts, pains, problems, all excessive self-absorption. Here we see the key, the last step, which will bring full relationship with her and allow her to intervene in our lives, as she has done for Juan Diego, Mother Teresa, and countless hidden ones. Once we take the first stumbling block and steps to consecration, Our Lady begins to enter our lives more perceptibly. Her goal, to fashion us after the pattern God desires, bringing Christ to the world. Each day will be like Christmas. Remember the presents under the tree? Like Christmas, we as children, or even adults, with unparalleled excitement, unwrapped our gifts. Like Christmas, every day consecrated to Mary's heart will cause us to wake in the morning, not always awake, perhaps with energy, maybe tired, but every day awake, eager for the surprise blessings of the day. For we know our loving God, through Our Lady, wants to give us gifts. We have been talking about Mary's heart. Just what is this Immaculate Heart anyway? Mary's Immaculate Heart can be defined as the inner life of Mary's undivided love for God and others. Her heart is the one most empty of self and most welcoming of others. We too, each one of us, can be a refuge for sinners and a consolation for the afflicted if we entrust ourselves to her heart. Let us confide in Our Lady in all our challenges, be they great or small. A few practical helps. With St. Mother Teresa, let us call out to Mary, "Lend me your heart," a heart which God wishes to share with each one of us. When there are spare moments, at a stop sign, when the water is waiting for the water to boil, say, "Lend me your heart, lend me your heart." Images and statues can also help evoke an awareness of Mary. Sometimes we may even feel her empathy. The Fatima statue in our chapel is my favorite, and I hope each of you has a favorite image in your homes. On a retreat, I learned a short prayer guaranteed to give peace when prayed. "Jesus, I thank you for everything." Father Dalby, in his book, I Believe in Love, compared saying this prayer, especially when thanking the Lord for any kind of suffering, to Mary's Magnificat. He wrote, "When we say this prayer, especially after a failure, we allow Jesus and Mary to transform whatever has happened into a greater good." I can testify that when I pray it, it has helped me many times in life, both with joys and failures. It above all helped me with the death of a very close one. It is truly Mary's prayer, she who from her own heart thanked God for everything. We began this talk with the sad reality of our civilization falling, as well as facing our own battles. If we become a man, woman, or woman of prayer, a creative genius, we can truly transform not only ourselves by living with Mary, but our poor world through our own hearts united with hers. May it be so. Heart of Mary, consolation of the afflicted, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.